This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information. Well, hello once again. This meeting is being live streamed to the Shower Door Professionals book on group on Facebook. Book on face group, whatever, you know, one of those things. You know these guys, they're the shower door pros. They're the people I look to for advice.
Yeah.
They make me look good. How you guys doing?
Super, super, super.
You're good.
Great.
It's hot.
We got Steve Nunn with really us. Hot. He's been absent. You know, for a couple of weeks, but you know, he's got a good excuse. He's got a good excuse. he's got other pokers in the fire.
That's right. So,
yeah, I saw that Phil Dobman had a visitor.
Yeah. There he is too.
Yeah. Right. Speak of the devil, he will appear.
Straight from Florida. It's Vito.
What's going on, Vito? Oh, you're probably muted. I mute everybody now because I'm just like that.
I guess.
Make you work for it just a little bit, you know.
Vitor reached out to me through a messenger saying that he was coming down to Cape Coral for vacation. So I said, well, stop by. So he asked if you'd come over. And God, we met up this morning about 10 o'clock and just had a blast. Really nice to meet him. Super, super nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He strikes me that way. You know,
you're muted, Vitor.
Can you get your audio?
Oh, Vitor, you're on mute.
Oh,
there you go.
There we go.
There you go. Say all that again.
Hey, hello guys. How are you, everyone?
Good night. To see you, good man. Evening.
Look at that smile. Yeah.
So it was really good. It was really great, actually, to meet you, Bill. Thank you so much. Guys, he has an awesome facility. Beautiful place. People smiling. You clearly can see how people enjoy to work on that place. Bill created clearly like a family environment on that place. That's beautiful, what I saw this morning. Nice. Congrats. Mm-hmm. Was very inspirational, for sure.
Good. It was great to have you here, too. And it's nice to have somebody to walk through that can appreciate it coming from the glass business. Because, you know, I walk different tour groups through, whether it's politicians or insurance guys or fire department. But somebody in the glass business that's been around understands, you know, not only the machinery, but the process. So that was kind of cool.
Is Sleepy Joe allowed in your facility, Bill? Are you afraid that he might fall over and, you know,
get hurt? I don't think insurance regulations would allow it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I got a lot of cranes. Could probably strap them on a crane and swing them through.
Use them like a wrecking ball?
Yeah, exactly.
You can see their MAGA hat and turn around.
Makes a good wrecking ball, man, I hear.
You don't need that for him to be a wrecking ball. He's already doing it.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. Doing a great job. Unbelievable.
That's fun. That's fun. Yeah, so we were talking a little bit, you know, before we started. We always were like, what are we going to talk about today? So does somebody have, like, just a question they want to ask or something that's been stuck in your crawl? Just want to get off your chest, or you want to get some other opinions about, you know. Otherwise, we'll just come up with something to talk about.
I have something that I noticed today. So I also took advantage and went to Bill's showroom. And I noticed, like, here in South Florida, it's not too common to use the seals on the doors. And right in Jersey, you barely see that. So I would say like 90% from the jobs in Jersey and in the city, we use the seals. So how about you guys? You guys also don't use the seals and make it like a tighter gap between the door and panel and wall?
You talk about the vertical seals?
Yes.
Yeah. We never use them unless it's a steam shower or there's multiple shower heads firing away at it.
Unless they got rain heads shooting at it.
But Vitor, I sound like a broken record, but a lot of times guys are using those seals because they're using wall mount hinges and it stops the glass from hitting the other glass when it slips out of the hinge. So it's almost like a protection and it gives them, it allows them to give a bigger gap on a door and panel if you put an H seal on there. So it stops the door, but it also protects it from hitting the other glass.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found that a lot of guys use it just because of that reason. It's not really to stop the water. It's it's to stop glass hitting glass and not have to worry about callbacks.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question about the pivot hinges. I keep getting that pivot hinges can't be used when the hinge side of the door has an outage on it. Obviously, unless you're using a header. So how do you get around that? Or do you just not use it in that case, which is a lot of cases because almost no walls are plumb.
All right. That's not an accurate statement. And I don't know why that is.
That's what Cardinal tells me.
Well, okay. So that's where I was going. A lot of the guys that have proprietary software to do the glass ordering and the glass design, their software will not allow you to even, as soon as you tell that where you want the hinge notch and it shows that it's out of square, it's going to default and it won't even let you go forward. There is a workaround. You can take that program, put it into an Adobe program, and then go ahead and draw it in yourself and send it. But the software itself defaults because the pivot points are not concentric. Mm-hmm. So if you use a header or if you're going to the ceiling soffit, you can always adjust where you put that bottom hinge as well, right? So you can adjust that. If let's just say the vertical wall that the door is hinging on the top is out 1 inch, which is ridiculous, but let's just say it's out 1 inch. You can take the wall mount brackets on our table saw and we make shims and you can double and triple stack this shim behind that wall mount bracket to build it out to compensate for it. You understand what I'm saying? So our bracket's called a pork chop. That it sits on top of the hinge and the hinge screws to the bottom of it. And then there's two screws that go into the wall.
Right.
Where it meets the wall, we take another one of those pork chops, put it on a table saw and cut off the part that would hold the hinge, but leave the part that attaches to the wall. And we use those as spacers and stack it out.
It's like doubling up a back plate on a wall mount.
Yes, right. Yes, exactly.
Right. Okay. We've even used header adapter blocks before for that if really needed. But yeah, your way is better.
Header adapter block. Yeah, that's another idea. Yeah.
You could do that and caulk around it so you don't see it. We only do it so because the finish is the same and it just matches.
Yep.
But in either case, Christina, you're right. You can use some kind of blocking behind here and build it out. That way you don't need to use a header and you don't have to go to the soffit.
Yeah. You know, an easy way to work around that I found is just design it. If you're using a program like that, like Showers Online, that's going to not let you do it. Design it like it's Walmart mount hinges. And then I just edit it, you know, edit that and then take the wall mounts out, put the pivots in. And then just send it over as a regular drawing rather than just sending it through the system like I normally do, you know. Normally,
but you still leave the door out of square?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris, the only other thing that you would probably do would be to change the dimension of the door because your deductions are different, right? On a pivot, I don't subtract as much as I would for a wall mount because of a plate. I would bring the glass on the hinge side
right
close to the wall. giving it a 16th and a 16th to a 32nd on the right. And when you're using wall mounts, you probably take off, what, 3/16 to a quarter?
Right, right. Yeah, good point. That's right. You don't need as much deduction using these pivots.
Yeah.
The other thing to point out and be more specific about is that you're describing the situation where the wall is out at the top. If the situation is that the wall is in at the top, then there's no issue because you're just moving the location of the bottom. So it's when the wall is out, but only when it's out a certain direction.
That's exactly right.
I've done a K cut on the wall one time using pivot hinges, and Oldcastle did it and had no issues at all. Mm-hmm. Zero.
Explain, what's a K cut?
The K cut is when there's a belly in the wall.
And oh,
so
all right.
You're trying to trying to follow it. And so I do a lot of that. I mean, if there's a belly in there, I'll get around there. I'll just draw it out. And Challenge Online has a area where you could put that in. And I did it one time on a pivot and had zero issue with it. And, well, here's one I did that was kind of, I don't know if you guys can't see that, huh? you guys can't see it. Anyways, it was kind of like that, and I put pivots on it, and it worked perfectly fine. I had no issues with it at all.
Okay, so when it was like that, how far out was it, though? Was it about
5/16 on one side and 1/8 on the other. So there was 2 outages on it, and the bottom was out 3/16. So yeah, I'm kind of and it worked. I mean, I was like really worried about it because dang it, it was really bad tile job, but I got it done, and it turned out pretty good.
As much as they want you to have those pivot points concentric, they don't have to be. It's not as crucial as if you're doing like 3 wall mounts where those pivot points really should be concentric because they fight against each other. Mm-hmm. And the pivots are not really fighting as much.
Yeah.
You have a lot more tolerance.
That's right. There's only 2 of them,
Yeah.
I mean, so they're in line no matter where you put.
That's great. You can draw a straight line down no matter what. They might fight a little bit, but the wear and tear on the hinge is going to hold up just fine.
So if you're an 1/8 out at the top on a pivot hinge, do you still shim it or just don't worry about it?
No, 1/8 is nothing. It's no big deal.
You got enough play within that hinge notch itself
for
tolerance.
So you guys don't, you guys wouldn't get your glass cut an 1/8 inch out? You got just
play would. With
it? Yeah.
Oh, you would? Okay.
We would.
I go up to a 16th. I don't care. I mean, I want it.
I normally won't do a 16th, and I'll tell you why. Because it's just as easy for them to do it wrong and do it backwards as it is for them to do it right. And a 16th is just, I find it's too small of an amount to really, I mean, the fabricator, if they make it, swear, and I tell them to make it out of 16th, I'm still stuck with it.
Yeah.
And they're gonna over polish it sometimes too, right? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it can be.
Okay.
But that's just me. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong, but it's because I used to do that, I found like, I'm just kind of making extra work for everybody.
So let me backtrack what I do. So sometimes I'll do a 16th, and then if it's like, sometimes it's in that gray area of 16th and not a 16th. So I'll just make a deduction a little more on my base size and just, go with that. And that usually works too.
Yeah.
And as far as the seals go, I don't use them at all. I mean, I give a 1/4 inch gap on the hinge wall and between my panels. And most of the time people are okay with that. And if they do complain, what I do, I'll just screw it over and then I'll put a seal in the middle, make sure I have a 5/16 gap. And I have room. I make sure I have room where I could adjust if I have to put a vinyl there. If not, then I'll live with it. Or I'll scoot over the panel a little bit more or do vice versa.
Yeah,
we couldn't get away with 1/4 inch gaps on both sides.
No?
No way.
No, that's too big.
We do too many homeowner stuff. So, not new construction, you might be able to because the builders don't complain much. But
I do.
When you're doing homeowner stuff, man, no way we could give that kind of gap. Hmm.
What's your max gap, Bill?
Max?
On the strike side.
On the strike side, we try and keep it at 16th, but I've seen it go to an eighth if we had to. If the shower head was on the opposite side, shooting towards the hinge side, so let's say the hinge side was away from the shower head, across the shower, water splashing off the wall, we may want to take that glass and bring it a little tighter to the wall over there, leaving a bigger gap between the door and the panel. But we don't like going more than an eighth ever. 16th is what is normal installation. But a quarter. Oh my God, no.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, here, pass me the soap without opening the door.
Yeah. Well, what if they, what, but you know, sometimes I get customers, oh, well, I want the door to go one way, you know, after the fact. That 16th, you can't do that. You can't even put the sill there to do that. So you're kind of stuck way, all right, well, sorry.
Then you do it the other way. You clip there's a stopper that you can clip on your fixed panel up on top and let the door come up and rest against it. So it's on the top of the glass, not on the vertical edge.
Yeah.
Oh, where do you get that? I haven't heard of that.
Should be able to get it at C.R. Lawrence. I've seen them around.
Like a sleeve over sort of a thing?
Yeah, basically a sleeve over. You tighten the nylon screw on the fixed panel and it's got a little bumper. I know they use them in wine closets all the time.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I'm starting to do a lot of wine closets and I don't know what to use to keep the doors from going in towards the wine.
Yeah, you could do one of those. You could put, if you know in advance, say Adria was in a situation there where the people asked for it after the fact. If you know in advance, obviously you put it down on the strike side and let it rest against. They also make floor bumpers that you can screw to the floor with a bumper on it and stop.
Yeah, but I hate those because people, are going to stub
the trip on them.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree.
So try to avoid that if possible.
I'm surprised, Bill, with 16th gap, I'm surprised you don't have more callbacks with movement of the house over time.
Yeah.
It's awful tight.
Yeah.
That's why I do a quarter for that reason. So
we do an eighth, but how many adjustments do you get, Bill?
Very few. Very few.
They're using pivot hinges all the time. Those things don't really sag.
No, the pivots don't sag. The wall does, though. I mean, the wall has movement, right? So the whole thing moves.
But even that, because there's not that much weight on the wall, you know, to drag it over, like wall mount hinges. Who answer your phone?
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Let me reject it.
Yeah, you know, since all the weight is on the bottom pivot, it's probably not making the wall, you know.
How many of you guys when you put your hinges on your glass, like a wall hinge, how many of you guys slide your hinge all the way up to the glass where there's no way for the glass to come down? I do that all the time, and I rarely
every time I use the wall mount.
Huh?
Every time I use a wall mount, I do that.
You push it up, and ever since I've been doing that, I rarely get any callbacks. I mean, because there's nowhere for the glass to go. So you know, because all the weight's coming down, right?
It can always move away from the wall. And that's kind of, I find it, that's more a cause of it, of needing adjustment than it is really sagging. It's more of a kind of moving away,
a pulling
the wall like that.
Well, I noticed that too when we were doing it before, is that when my helper would, you know, because usually I work on the outside, I'll set the door and he'll inside, he'll, you know, mark it, drill it, whatever. What I was noticing is that he'll tighten up one screw really tight and then work on the other instead of going back and forth to evenly tighten them. So, you know, ever since I've been doing it like that, my callbacks are one in a million, barely. I mean, it's just, I don't know if it's the luck or it's just, you know, the way I adjusted how I did them.
Explain that again.
Okay. So when I put my hinges on, like my helper used to, I never paid attention to it, but he would just tighten one screw on the hinge, like really tight, like the cover plate.
Mm-hmm.
He would tighten it really tight and then work with the one on the bottom. And so I think by doing that, he was like doing it unevenly and sort of would push the glass out. Kind of funny, because if you open the door, the hinge will look kind of butterfly. And so I had him do it a different way where he did a little bit on the bottom, a little bit on top until we got it to where he wanted. And then the hinge the hinge didn't butterfly anymore after that, so it was not pushing it out. And ever since we've been doing that, callbacks, like I said, have been, you know, minimal.
That's how you want to do it. Just like if you're doing a wheel, you're putting on a wheel, right? You tighten each lug a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
You go around. Yeah. So, yeah, that's just, I think.
So, yeah. So that's what I've been doing. I've been pushing up my hinges all the way up to the glass, right? And, you know, doing those little things. And then, like I said, my callbacks are little, you know. And so
we spent probably 20 minutes on that discussion Friday for the shower door installation guide. Shannon, you were a big part of that because Shannon had written instructions about how to apply and how much pressure to apply to those back plates. And we were talking about whether you should get a torque screwdriver so you can, you know, identify the amount of pressure.
PSI and specified. Yeah.
Yes.
We did. By the way.
And, you know, a rule of thumb, and I'm going to say this as a rule of thumb because it doesn't always happen, is Shannon was teaching her people to do it until you hear that squeak. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say 90, 95% of the time, you're going to get that squeak when it's tight just right, but not in every case. So we didn't put the squeak in the in the instructions, but
it was a
very good topic. Like, how much do you tighten it down? And do you rotate it from screw to screw or just go snug, make your adjustments, then tighten by hand? Do not use an impact wrench or an impact screwdriver where it's so much pressure, it butterflies.
Never.
The other thing we ended up finding is that when we used CRL hinges, we usually use the Vienna and it's got a flat plate. You get some of the other hinges and they'll have like the waffle on the back of it. So, and I think it's less expensive to produce. And all the ones that would have that waffle pattern, it would do the same thing. We say it would taco, and we have a waffle and it would taco, actually bend. So we found that on lesser quality hinges as well.
Yeah.
You said taco, I was sort of, you lost me there after taco.
You get that little bend to it.
You know, what we started doing was always put our hinges on the shop. We block them, make sure they're up to the top of the glass. Then we started putting Loctite on the screws.
Huh.
Because every time we'd go back to adjust the door, it was like you never even tighten the screw.
Yeah.
You take your screwdriver and it was like,
did you say you do that at your shop though?
Yeah, we do it at the shop.
How do you transport your glass if you already have hardware on it? Maybe that's a dumb question, but
glass rack.
Yeah, that's a good question. What I used to do when I was using a truck was I would put tape over the cover plate. Just so that, and then put that side to the rack. So you fold the hinge, the back plate hinge around into the open position, basically.
Yeah.
And then put the inside against the rack, and it rides pretty well like that.
Yeah, we take the wrapping off the shower door hinge, and cover the hinge, and do the same thing: bend it over, tape it, then tie the truck. So that way, when it gets to the job site, we know we have the right distance for the hinge, for clearance. And, you put all the clips on here.
I love that. But if you need to, so I have a question about the Loctite aspect of that. Because we have been having go backs like crazy, and it's terrible. And it's recent. I mean, it's so recent.
Yeah.
If you put Loctite on the screws, what happens if you need to come back, do an adjustment for any reason?
You don't use the super Loctite.
Using blue?
You use the blue, the medium.
Blue.
Yeah.
And it'll come loose. And after we did that, we stopped having trouble.
And Christina, we had a surge of callbacks, and we noticed it was during that incredible heat wave last month, that when it was getting to be in the mid to high 90s every day, houses started, this is our theory,
is that 90s we is a heat wave for you guys. Damn.
Yeah, yeah, that's our heat wave.
And it was, oh, you're 100% right. I mean, that it is completely seasonal. We know that for certain. I mean,
cold snaps.
Yeah, cold snaps and heat waves. And if it's just anything more extreme than we're used to, my receptionist will look at me and be like, I got 10 calls today. And it's like that. It's absurd. It's absurd. And it's such a waste. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yes, correct. Thank you. I'm glad that we can commiserate.
Anybody else use Loctite? I mean, I've thought about it.
I never, right? But that's a good idea.
I do. I do. I use the blue one.
It's not a bad idea. You know, I've considered it many times, but I've just never gotten around to actually doing it.
Back to houses. And you go to a chest.
Do you guys add a charge? Let's say that your job's like an hour away and you got to go make an adjustment. Do you guys put in your clause or contract saying you got to charge for that? Or is that a free, a free trip? If it's like an hour and a half. I mean, sometimes those are killers right there.
Yeah, those are.
If we sell it, we service it. So yeah. That's
yeah. Yeah, I don't go more than an hour away. So yeah. that's what
I do. Yeah, I service it too. So
yeah.
We also price those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We price those jobs such that if we do have to make a return trip, we aren't losing out on it. And typically, you know, we might price ourselves out of it, and that's okay.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
So sometimes it doesn't work though. Sometimes they get it. Because other people are doing the same thing.
So, Greg, you said if you sell it, you service it. I agree. How long do you service at no charge?
For a
door adjustment?
We're probably the exception. We're 5 years parts and labor.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Wow. Wow.
And we do it.
Congratulations. That's incredible.
Yeah, and we're still in business.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Of course. I mean,
how many of those older calls do you get that are like that 3, 4, 5 year?
We don't get that many at the 3, 4, 5 year mark, but if we get them, we go out. I'd say the most of them are in the early stages for sure.
Yeah.
And we'll do it
for a year.
How do you handle like silicone? Because I don't want to go over a 3-year warranty because people are going to start calling about mildewed silicone and it's going to be that whole rigmarole of like, well, you sold me this.
Yeah, we'll go out to a job for silicone, but of course that's a moisture issue, not an installation issue. You know, unless there's mold on the inside of a clamp or something. So we all say the same thing. You need ventilation. Open that push that shower door opens in. When you're done showering in the morning, we encourage people to push that door in so you get some ventilation in that bathroom. Boy, a little air goes a long, long way, dries out that shower like that.
Which is another great argument not to use a seal, by the way.
Yes, exactly. Another
great argument not to use silicone, right, Chris?
Exactly.
Who doesn't use silicone? Chris?
Yeah. Silicone's really basically.
The guy from Silicon Valley.
So what's your secret behind that? I mean, do you get callbacks for leakage or what do you do in that situation?
Oh, yes.
For not using silicone.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, so this is what I do. I'll tell them. Well, so my situation is unique, right? Because I'm actually doing the installation and I'm kind of cherry picking, right? My customers. So I don't really mind a go back. It's different for me than if I was a company with a bunch of employees and I had to send my employees back to something.
Yeah.
If someone's going back, it's me going back and I'm on a salary. So so I'll tell people, look at how nice it looks. Are you sure you want me to caulk this? If you find that like too much water is getting out, and I give them the whole speech about, frame shower enclosures are not designed to be totally watertight. So you've got a choice. I mean, you can make this, try to make it watertight, or you can just try living without silicone, and then you'll never have to re-caulk it. You never have to worry about that mildew. You never have to worry about any of that. And if you decide that like it's not working out, I'll come back and caulk it later.
No. How many of those calls? How many calls do you get like that go back?
One out of 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
How big are your clearances on your wall and the floor?
I use the standard CRL showers online clearance, which for a wall mount hinge, it's 7/16 of the raw.
No, I'm talking about your panel to your wall.
Oh,
and the clearance on the bottom.
I aim for an eighth, you know, sometimes a 16th, you know.
All right.
I kind of try to, you know, kind of finagle that, you know, when I'm doing the layout. I might tell my layout it's a little bit narrower than it really is to get my clearances a little tighter, that sort of a thing.
Chris, let me add and go back to what Christina was talking about with the mold situation on there. Christina, we found that there's two types of situations. One is what Greg was talking about, just ventilation. And that's where you're getting some kind of mold growing on the silicone, right? Something where you could wash it off, you could bleach it, it'll come off. But if you find you go there and you put some kind of bleach or solvent on there and you can't get it off, that's a chemical reaction, not a fungus that's growing on the caulking. I've noticed when people use pine sol in there, it becomes a chemical reaction with the silicone and it turns the silicone a black. And now you have to cut it off. So that's the difference. It depends what the cleaner is and if there's a chemical reaction with that caulking. So there's two things. One is mold built by moisture, where if you just ventilate it, that won't be a problem. But the second one is if they're using a certain cleanser on here, it's causing that problem.
That's really interesting. We don't have a lot of silicone.
We just don't.
What kind of silicone do you guys use?
Us?
Yeah.
We do the SMRC, mildew resistant silicone. And I think we've kind of changed up our silicone a little bit more recently because it has it less like bubbles in it. We had a really bad batch from CRL with bubbles a couple times. It really made a lot of customers. So
Sikaflex makes a good silicone. It's called it's a GP general purpose. It's pretty, bubbles are rare in those. But I've been using CRL's RTV silicone. Freaking awesome.
That's what I use.
It's expensive. It is good. We use that for natural stone, but it's expensive.
But you're not paying for it. The customers are. You charge them for it. Not you.
Somebody's paying for it. Yeah. And if you don't, and if you use silicone like the way that I do, it really doesn't cost very much at all.
I can see
Corinne's first too.
He's not really laying down anything, you know, the customer's watching. Just, boy, that's really,
I mean, I can't buy silicone by the case. I mean, it just won't stay good that long.
So, back to your shower leaks. I did one for this lady, the barn shower, matte black. Took forever to get the hardware. Glass came in bowed. Finally got over to do it. Got all done. The header came damaged. Had to order a new header. I said, we'll put it in just to get you a shower. And she waits 3 weeks to use it. She thought it leaks. I go over there and she pours water and the back pour is leaking out. Okay. I can silicone it. My husband says he wants to take it out and redo it. So I'm not going to do that. I said, you haven't used the shower. So I cut it out. I said, well, what happens if it doesn't? I'll come back and tear it out. So another 3 weeks go by, and July 1st, she texts me, still leaking. So I call her up, and so it's dripping out one of the clips. Okay, I can come take care of that. Now she doesn't want me back over there. She's going to hire somebody else to come take it out, reseal it, put it back in. I mean, who in the right mind would, you know, take on the responsibility and be responsible for it after that.
Freaking Californians.
And then she was running her wand down the seam on the tile and the water was coming through the grout joints.
Of course.
So if you spray water into the gaps, water will come through there?
Well, she was saying, I mean, it wasn't leaking before. And then her husband says, well, she took the wand and ran it down and it was coming out through the grout joints. I'd want to tell him, well, something's wrong with your grout. He didn't like that either. So
yeah. I mean, this is why it's so important, you know, in my thinking, to have this conversation with people about water, you know, and kind of try to lower their expectations of being like watertight, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the first time, yeah, it was puddling out in the corner and I stopped it. Yeah, but the second time, it's leaking out the clip, the bottom of the clip. Okay, that's no problem. You just take the cover off, and reseal everything, and put it back together. We'll see.
Yeah, so I mean, earlier we were talking about using like seals, right? In the gaps. So I don't use those unless they make me, unless they actually force me to. I'll carry those. I carry like a whole variety of those in my van, so I'd have them if I need them. Because invariably, you know, someone will be like, "Are you going to put some seal in there?" And then it's like I try to talk them out of it, but I can't. You know, even I can't talk them out of it. They want something on there, you know. So I've always got them in case I need to. I actually did one yesterday like that. It was like, they wanted down the hinge side of the door. So, but that's kind of my policy is like, I try not to put anything on there. I want it to be like truly like European style where it's just like glass, brass. Yeah.
I got a good story on seals. So I ordered a box of seals from Cyril Lawrence, 10 of these and 2 of these and a screen kit. So I get the invoice. Estimated shipping charge, $316.
Oh.
I go, what? So I called her this morning, I go, what's that deal? Because every time the seal numbers are punched into the computer, it comes up with $316 for shipping charges, you know, instead of $48, what it should be.
Wow.
And when it came through, it was corrected.
Wow.
So every time, it says, you're not the only one that's called.
You know. Yeah, that new CRL website is awesome.
How do you figure out how to use it?
Yeah. Actually, I'm going there right now to check my last invoice. Hold on.
Greg, I like how they put like 6 hinges on a page. You're looking for a certain hinge, okay? We have, right? And they put 6 on a page, and they made you click through 4 pages to find your, instead of just putting them all on one page. It's an internet. You just can run everything on the whole page. This is the brand new fancy CRL webpage. The search tools are just as bad. I mean, it's awful.
Well, at least they changed their phone queue if you call them.
Before you
had to press 2 for this and then tick, you know, whatever you wanted to talk to. And now it's changed. So that's a plus.
Hey, you ever call US Horizon? Yeah. I hate their old music. It's just like torture.
Hey, FHC sounds like Johnny Cash's music, so I don't mind that.
Yeah, it should be something more like that. But theirs is like this kind of techno sound. It is over and over and over. There's only about like 3 measures of it, you know, it repeats over and over. Oh my gosh. It's like, please, don't put me on hold.
Talking about US Horizon, have you guys been any issues with them, with the shipments? Because I placed an order on the 3rd and they just shipped me today. They're saying that they're going over replacing their software, and that was the reason. So, but anyway, wasn't acceptable. So, just check if you guys have any issues with them as well.
They just redid their website as well, right after CRL. So that might have something to do with it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, I had trouble logging in. I had to get some help.
And now, when you log into Cyril Lawrence, you have to log in every time.
Yeah. They definitely did not test this with their customers. They all sat there in a bunch.
And the gal I talked to said, "Well, that's for security." Said, really?
Yeah, everybody's doing this thing now. I'm sure it won't be long before you'll have to get a code on your phone.
Yeah, they're gonna send you the code
in order to get into their website. I hate that. And everybody's starting to do that. It's like, yeah.
Or you gotta give some of your blood, little thumb blood.
We're in a glass business. That's easy to do.
pay your mortgage loan.
Scan your iris.
Yeah. It's funny, when I was walking through Vitor through the shop today, we were all comparing scars.
Oh, yeah.
Little injuries.
Oh, yeah. Glazer's got scars.
Yeah. Yeah. When a guy comes in for an interview, that's what you say. Let me see your hand. Let me see your wrists.
That's true.
How much experience you got?
I got one today.
It's like when you hire a French carpenter. A guy said he was a carpenter. He says, how long you been doing it? He goes, oh, 5 years.
There you go.
So I have a question on the pivot hinges, which might turn into just more of a gripe. So Bill's all about the pivot hinges, but when you order from CRL, when you look at their weights, we usually use Vienna, which is 110 pound max. You go to the pivot hinges and they are listed at 100 pound max. And I'm looking at it going, why do we have a hinge where the weight is on the bottom and yet the limit is less than my wall mount hinges? I really don't want to go over a manufacturer's, you know, suggested weight or width limits, but it just doesn't make sense to me. That's, and like I said, it's probably a gripe because you got your own hinges.
We do, but that's a great question. And you should be able to get that answer from CRL or FHC or whoever you're ordering it from, because they have a test lab. Like when we developed ours, we set up one on a frame with a counter, and we just had it go and go and go. And we got 300,000 revolutions before we started to see any kind of wear on it.
Did that guy's arm get tired?
No, it's just a nice little machine that kept count. We just let it run overnight and had a counter on it. And every time it went by, it has a spring, it has an arm, and this motor goes around. The arm just swings the door open and comes back and clicks the counter. But check the weights on it. And, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily the fact that it's a pivot or just the material that they use with the kind of weight that you put in it, what kind of grease or ball bearings that they use underneath to support that weight as it moves.
It may have to do with the fact that there's just that one hinge at the bottom that's carrying the weight, as opposed to wall hinges. Both hinges are carrying the weight.
Oh, that's a good point.
And what we've done is the you got the Primas with the CRL, which are just, the guys don't like them. The doors, they won't do a wide enough door, won't do a heavy enough door. Then they jump up to the senior Primas, which really are for half inch. So on 3/8, they got to use the extra gaskets. The guys don't like those hinges either. It's like you need something in the middle. They don't have it. Well, Southeastern does. They have the 600, and we use the 600. It goes up to 36 inches wide. The cut is bigger than the CRL. And as much as I've complained about Southeastern, that 600 pivot hinge is way nicer. And you get both things. You get your weight limit. You get up to a 36 inch wide door, and it's bigger than the Prima, but smaller than the senior Prima.
And when you order those, do you order everything from them so all your colors match? So, for instance, if you got a brass, you're not going to just get the hinges and then take a handle and clamps from Sierra Lawrence that you have in stock. Well,
it's a good question, but Southeastern doesn't have them in brass. So, Southeastern, you're going to have your chrome, brushed nickel, or bronze, and I don't even think they have matte black.
Well, let's go with brushed nickel. Those match pretty good. They look good.
Fine. Yeah.
I noticed when you change vendors, the color's off.
Yep, it's a good question, but we use the 600 hinge. The guys like them. They're adjustable, and it strikes just the right note for us. And they make them in a wall block version too.
Good, good.
What's the name of that brand?
Southeast Aluminum.
Southeastern Aluminum. They've had their troubles, but it is better. So
they're in Jacksonville.
What was the part? What was the series?
600.
600.
It's the 600 hinge. Yep. So it's an adjustable hinge, good for a 36 inch wide door. And for heavier door. That's the thing with the Primas. The guys don't really like the CRL hinges anyway. Their quality isn't that high. But that pivot hinge, I know Bill has his own proprietary kudos, but that we found really strikes a really good note.
What kind of hinge notch does that take?
2.5 across, 1 7/8 deep.
So it's a little modified. Yeah, do you use showers online? Will it allow you to make that hinge notch to the size you want?
Yes and no. We'll have to bring in of course, as you know, the smart build uses the CRL. So the beautiful part of the software, even though CRL restricts you, is you bring it in, you can modify the hinge cutouts. and then edit the hardware in the hardware list, zero out the senior primas, then manually add your hinges. So that way, when we're picking hardware, the guys, you know, the ladies and guys know what hardware to use. The other thing you can do in Smart Build is you can actually convert it to a job. So back to that pivot hinge where you can actually take that door and add the eight after the fact. We use that with buttress walls. You know, like you get a door and a buttress panel.
Yeah.
The famous buttress goes in a quarter or out a half. We'll actually draw it in the software and then convert it to a job and then modify it. So we're actually putting in the door and panel like this. That. So your gap is consistent up your buttress wall. Because they complain, how come my gap is uneven? Well, because it was built out of plumb. So so you can do that in the Smart Build software, which is nice.
Nice.
Greg, we use Smart Builder as well. And we convert things to jobs for the buttress wall, like you're saying as well. But as for the warning about the pivot hinge outages on the walls, you can actually go into the warning settings and bypass that. Instead of, like, I think it's automatically marked as a fatal error, so you can't save it, but you can change it to like a warning. So it'll still pop up, but it'll let you keep going, which is really, really nice.
Interesting.
So you don't have to convert it to a job.
Gotcha.
The bigger problem that Billy Britt had is when he went to do that, the software still wouldn't give him the glass orders. He had to draw it by hand.
Huh.
And it was because he was buying the hardware from the same supplier. And they used that software, wouldn't allow him to modify it, and wouldn't make the door form the way he wanted it.
See, we fabricate.
That's so strange.
Well, they figured it's a liability risk. If it's a fatal warning, it's a liability risk. They don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Interesting. We just send our DXF into their machines at Old Castle. All they can do is approve it.
They accept DXFs?
They do, yes.
Wow. Do you, Greg?
Well, we only fabricate for ourselves, but we'll send stuff to HMI on occasion, and they won't. I sent them DXFs in order to minimize mistakes. It was like rain glass or something, which I don't temper in house. And they refused the DXFs. They're like, no, we want paper. We'd rather re-enter them by hand.
I have a button right here that says send order to OBE, and I'm clicking, my orders go straight to them.
Nice.
Yes.
They don't have to transfer nothing. It's all my fault if there's any mistakes, not theirs. So it's like, and then there's less mistakes too. I find out that there's mistakes are minimal.
Yeah.
So
it's nice, but they still, my gripe with OBE in our location anyway is like whoever transfers glass to, I guess, whatever the next machine in the setup is, they put it on backwards. And so then we get like backwards cut glass. It's terrible. It's gotten out of hand.
But that should not happen though, because they're just getting your sizes and throwing into their system, and they're not even touching it themselves.
They are when they change machines, like if a machine goes down or something. It's happening constantly, and it's awful. And we pay extra for that service to be able to just directly import them, no humans. Like, we pay extra for that, and then we're still getting the same number of problems, and it's always the same problems. So we always know we're gonna have to reorder like these
pretty soon the Shards Online is gonna be free to Old Castle customers, from my sales rep told me.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They're trying to give it to them. Yeah, they're trying to work out a thing because they want more people to use it to send their orders through instead of sending them drawings.
But are you using Smart Builder or Showers Online?
Showers Online.
Yeah, so that is free to do because they don't want people to do that. But you have to pay for Smart Builders.
Right, Smart Builders using the CRL software. And
they
put it inside the software now. So it's all tied together, which is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah,
I only pay $200 a month for it. How much do you guys pay
for the software? I got like 10 seats.
Yeah, they've got a lot more than we get from Showers Online. It does a lot more than that, just what we get.
It's like a full end-to-end CRM, which it's great, but it's a lot. I mean, it's good, but.
Christina, mm-hmm. follow up on that. A full CRM, is that tracking sales estimates and everything?
Yeah. Yes.
So like a CRM that BidClips or Brandon was selling, Brandon DeCastro,
mm-hmm.
Is it tracking source of advertising as well? So you can track return on investment. So if you find out where the advertising comes from?
Yes.
Smart Build is giving you that also?
Yes.
And is it allowing you to give you alerts to call the customer back in a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is because the file's not done? Yeah.
Yes.
Really? Okay.
I didn't know it had that CRM capability.
And also, they've expanded it now. It actually batches our glass for our production floor. It's not really a production floor hardware, but we batch all our glass on it automatically now. And it prints off nice. I got waterproof labels. And it prints on those. And so the guys have a nice label out on the floor that goes with the piece. So, and it batches them all. So.
I didn't know it did all of that with the fabric. We don't fabricate. I had no idea. We'd love to try to do that, but.
What is it called? CRM? You said it's called a CRM?
It's called Smart Builder. It is a CRM, which is a customer relationship manager.
Well, my Shower to Line is a Smart Builder though. Same thing.
Smart Builder is a big product, and Showers Online is the shower design software. And for a long time, they were separate. But in the last couple of years, they brought it in. So now when I bring up Mr. and Mrs. Jones, I can double click on the customer, all the information, all the history, all the notes, we actually synchronize also our measure sheets, our job site photos, everything's all done to that one job. And I can go in Mr. Jones, I can see when I went there, what the job site photo was like, what the measure sheet looked like. And then I can double click on the quotes. I can double click and then find out all the revisions. I mean, it's all there.
Oh. It's like amazing. And it syncs with Google Calendar. So we don't have to buy seats for our installers. They just we just sync it with Google Calendar and they see all their calendars.
And Dropbox. So the guys, when they're going out to a job site, they've got Google Calendar. When they click on it, not only does it get the address with directions to go to, but also
photos,
Dropbox, so all the photos, so the guys know before they get there, they're in the van on the way, okay, what's the job site look like, okay, this is going to be a dorm panel.
Oh, that's cool.
Tile, any of this stuff. Huh. So they've got all those materials to look at before they get to the job site.
Your guys are doing that on the way to the job? They're not checking how much cream's in the coffee or, you know, if there's
cream's in the coffee is definitely getting checked though.
So Smart Builder covers like the cream in the coffee part.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Wow.
It does.
Now, where do I sign up?
Yeah.
So I'm a huge fan of Smart Builder. I don't know.
What's something like that cost?
Well, it depends on how many seats. We're $1,000 a month for all 10 seats.
10 seats, $1,000. That's cheap. I used to pay
for a customer database. I used to pay for the design e-showers plus a CRM. And now it's all together at once. So it's probably another couple $100 what I used to pay. It's not cheap, but boy, it's worth it.
Well, I mean,
you have an option of buying it instead of leasing it. Can you buy it outright, Mona? No.
No.
Hello, Bill. Wouldn't that be wonderful, Bill? No.
just think it out loud.
No, I mean, it would be nice. I keep trying to get them to do some custom development for us, but I can't. I mean, they're so swamped right now. But yeah, it's amazing what they've done, and it's expensive, but it saved us so much.
Yes. Where are they based out of?
New Zealand.
Is that Rich Wheeler?
Couldn't tell you. Guy
that started the original.
Well, there was like an e-shower split off and something's going on there. Now FHC is with e-showers. So I don't ask. All I know is e-showers really got to the point where they wouldn't answer my phone calls and they weren't tied together. I had one CRM and then e-showers was doing my quotes. Now it's all tied together. And it's so nice to have all that data there together. And we don't even use it. Christina probably does more things with it than we do on some things. And Christina, you really should come up to Knoxville.
I would love to. And it also does inventory management, which I mean, any software you get is going to be as good as what you put into it and the processes you have in place. So we all know that with inventory and stuff, but just throwing that out there.
Yeah, Bill's got great. I was impressed with Bill's inventory system when I went down there. Just very clean, very organized.
And that's Greg, do you use the inventory
We do not. So I'd be very interested in what you are doing with the inventory side of it.
Oh my gosh, it's awesome. Highly recommend.
Now, is that inventorying hardware? Is it taking each shower and saying, okay, you're creating this shower, so therefore remove two hinges, a handle, and whatever else?
It creates a purchase order. So I'll create the glass purchase order. Then I'll create the hardware purchase order, depending upon the vendor, if it's in-house or whatever. Now, what Christina's saying, she's going to have to take the conversation from here, is now we'll pull that out of inventory, but Christina's saying it'll track that, and I haven't done that yet.
Right, the use part of it. How's the use happen?
Yeah, it's awesome. So good question. So what it shows me in every work order, Greg and Shannon, is it'll show me all of the hardware involved with that job on that work order. Mm-hmm. And it'll show me a chart of how much I have, how much is needed for the job, how much is reserved elsewhere, how much I have on order. I mean, it shows all of that. And then I can decide, okay, do I want to purchase these things or not? Do I have enough in inventory right now? And so so then I buy what I need to buy and what have you. It comes time for the job. And Smart Builder also has a scheduling aspect or calendar side of it. And so they have this concept of delivery. So when you schedule your visit to install the shower door off of the work order, you're saying, I'm going to deliver this shower to this customer. And in that delivery, it'll itemize everything in that work order and say, okay, you've got all this glass, you've got all this hardware. And then after the install, it takes it out of inventory as though you've delivered it, unless you manually override it because maybe something didn't go in or what have you. But, yeah, it just automatically takes it out of inventory for you.
If you guys haven't looked at it lately, I would really recommend you look at it.
I have actually, I did like a video testimonial for them, kind of as an exchange, honestly, to get the inventory stuff at a better
maybe
price.
Maybe that's why I don't have inventory.
Yeah, I maybe shouldn't have said that. I really love them. I mean, they've done such a... I wish their implementation was more robust. I don't think like my dad would have been able to do this without somebody younger in the office to help him like figure out how to use it kind of thing. But like, I can send my little video testimonial because I go into a lot of detail on some of this stuff, and not to like toot my own horn, but like, I just really like their software. I think it's so
you
wonderful.
You should post that to the group.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be cool. I'd love to see it.
And I don't think if I think it's like $250 for the first user or something. So, I mean, if you're you don't have to be the world's large, you know, I get 10 seats because I got seats all over the place. I probably have too many seats, but you don't have to spend $1,000 a month. We do, but you could certainly do better. And the way it ties the customer, the callbacks, the follow-ups and everything, along with the design and the pricing and the revisions, it's really impressive. And links to Dropbox for all those images. It's really good.
Can you share seats? Can you share seats?
I mean, only that login can't be logged in at the same time, if that's the question. So if the seat is in your name, I can log in as you, but those simultaneous, I can have, say, I think I can have 10 simultaneous logins. So
okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. So somebody can log in. We can leave one just named office.
Yeah,
anybody
sure.
In the office could use it as opposed to an individual person.
Yeah. Oh no, they don't care.
That's right.
But it has to be one at a time. That's the only rub on that. Like, it'll kick you out.
Right.
Yeah. If you log in as the same ID, like if one of my sales rep is out in the field and then I log in as him for some reason, I'm just at his computer and it pops up and I log in, it'll kick him out. Even though he's on an iPad in the field on the software, and it'll bump him out.
Right. Yep. That makes sense.
And it works on an iPad in the field, which is amazing. Yes. It's clunky. I mean, it's really clunky, but on an iPad, but it works. And I've sent so many things. That's how I've done in-person sales, like Bill and his son were saying.
Yeah, showers online, same. I mean, it's the same thing, right? It is a little clunky, but it does work on an iPad in the field, and it's awesome. I mean, it is a field closer.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, for sure. And if it's like I'm paying $200 a month for one seat on showers online, I mean, if I get that whole package for $250, I would be crazy not to get it. Mm-hmm. And he used, you know, $1,000 a month is expensive. Yeah, it's that's expensive, but like that's like payroll for one person per week.
A part-time employee, I know.
And right? So I mean, and so, I mean, if it's something that does the work of like an employee, you know, on a monthly basis, I mean, it's cheap.
But yes, and we're out of time, I guess, but
yeah.
I will say it is what you put into it. It took us a long time to get comfortable with each piece of it, but you don't have to do everything at once either. I mean, you can start with just the basics and then start adding, okay, I'm going to start using the schedule. How does this work? Okay, I'm going to start using this part of it. And it, if you take it in small chunks and you get everything out of it that you can and you need, it's so worth it.
Well, like Showers Online is the same way. It's like you have to enter in data. You know, it's like it's there. You have to put in your price and you have to put in what your what your profit margin is going to be and all that stuff. So it's an investment in time. I mean, once you get that information in there, then it stays in there. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to update, it's easy to change. But yeah, I mean, it's like a powerful thing that like, it's just like QuickBooks. How much of QuickBooks do you actually use? What all can it do? You know, so it's a matter of how much you learn it and utilize it.
Smart Build used to have a separation from Showers Online. Now they're completely integrated, which is huge.
And amazing for reporting purposes too. The reports are so robust. I mean, that's one thing that I haven't dug into enough. Oh. And that's like probably the biggest insight that we've had.
Of all people, I figured you would have had that down pat because you were the one who was asking all about the KPIs for the year.
Well, it's something I enjoy doing, but I just haven't taken the time. It's what it is.
That's funny. Nerd alert. Well, hey, everybody, thanks so much for showing up. Man, this has been a great talk. I've learned a lot. I always do. This is great. So I'm probably going to look into some of this stuff. Anyway, thanks for showing up. Hope you'll come back again next week. And we'll do it all over again.
Thank you.
Cheers, everyone. Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.